Yeah. Okay, open your Bibles up to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, there is a lot of confusion, and the church is running around trying to avoid something that God intended for them to participate in, but because of false teaching, they're avoiding it, and they don't want anything to do with it. You know, I don't know how many times I've heard people say, God will not share his glory with any man. That is biblically not true. God will not share his praise with anybody. Now, that's true. God will not share his praise. We're not to praise anybody other than God himself. We praise the name of Jesus. But as far as the glory of God, he wants the glory of God to be seen on the church. That's an attractant to the world. Look at chapter 4, verse 6. It says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This refers to the power of the Holy Ghost through the light of the gospel in our bodies. We are weak, but he is strong. We have these earthen vessels. I mean, the Bible tells us we're going to return to dust, our bodies. But it's Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. See, as long as we're in these bodies, we're connected to the earth, we're connected to the flesh. I mean, we can't get away from it. And Paul even said that he had to keep under his flesh. He had to keep his flesh beat down. If Paul had to do it, we're going to certainly have to do it. But it's Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's him in us. That's the good thing that people see. They don't see our talents. They don't see us. They don't see our natural ability. They see Jesus Christ in us. Especially when we're operating the way the church is supposed to. You know, we're going out into all the world and, you know, we're witnessing to people and we're praying for people. You know, we're ministering to poor people, helping people. Then pretty soon somebody's going to see you do something. Notice I didn't necessarily say they're going to see you say something. They're going to see you do something. People have heard all kinds of church gimmicks. People have heard all kinds of churchy ideas. I know when I was a kid, I can always tell when the Baptist Church was going to have their summer of missions. Because we'd be at the swimming pool and all of a sudden there would be some big, strong high school kid there doing rope tricks or something, getting our attention with rope tricks. Well, what's rope tricks got to do with salvation? Other than he was getting our attention in the natural, he was using natural means to get our attention. You know, there's a better way. The real way to get somebody's attention in the natural is to use the spiritual. Let them see you pray for somebody and that somebody get better. See, that's the glory of God. And then when they see that somebody else get better, they start having questions. You know, when they see somebody show up and start feeding the poor, they start having questions. When they see somebody's life start to change, they start having questions. They want to know what's up. See, that's the glory of God showing on you. That's the light of God shining in and through you. When you're out there doing that stuff. Not rope tricks, not gimmicks. See, the church, the world is so tired of the church gimmicks till they can't hardly stand it. They want to see something real. They want to see somebody's life really get changed. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But we hope for that we see not. Then do we have patience, wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. You've been glorified. There's no reason for you to run from that. And in fact, God wants you to let that shine so much that people have to ask questions. He wants you to let that shine so much that people around you get changed. How do you do that? It's not by running around acting cool. But by going out and doing what Jesus said, the first thing Jesus said to do is go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, pray in other tongues. The Great Commission. That's our job. That's our daily job. That's not for the fivefold ministries. That's for all believers, is to go out there and witness to people. And here's the coolest thing about this. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have a whole bunch of scriptures memorized. You can tell somebody, said, you know what? I used to think God was mad at me and I thought I was going to hell. And I found out that Jesus actually forgave me and he's not mad at me. And then I got born again. And now I don't have to go to hell. How hard is that? And then the guy you're talking to will sit there and think to himself, you know, if God can save that turkey, he can save me. See, this is the important thing about testimonies. You know, a lot of people want their past to remain buried and hidden, and nobody will ever know. You know, like you never done anything wrong. You just, poof, you was a Christian, and then you just lived an angelic life ever since then, and everything's wonderful. But here's the important thing about our testimony. Is there somebody sitting around listening to everybody? And when they hear somebody say, you know, I used to be an alcoholic, but God delivered me from that, and he set me free, and I haven't had to return to that. And they hear that. They say, you know something, maybe there's a chance I can be set free. Somebody's sitting around with cancer. Hear somebody say, you know, I got struck with cancer, and I came to the church, and the elders of the church laid hands on me, and they prayed for me, and the cancer went away. And I've been cancer-free ever since. What happens? They get hope in their heart. They say, you know, there's a chance. If God set somebody, took somebody out of poverty and set them into a position of prosperity, maybe it can happen to me. See, the alcoholics, they have a better grasp on this than most of the church do. The Alcoholics Anonymous, one of their things is they want to share their experience, strength, and hope with others. They want to tell them what they went through, show them how they got strength to get out of that, and it gives hope to the people that are listening. You know, there's a lot of people running around that are basically in a hopeless and helpless state of mind and body. You know, whatever situation they're in, they think that there's no hope for them to get out of it. They'll tell you, said, you know, my grandpa, he was a poor dirt farmer. My dad was a poor dirt farmer. I'm going to be a poor dirt farmer. My kid's going to be a poor dirt farmer. Why? Because they haven't heard a message of hope. There's people running around that own their circumstances. And they say, it's because of this, I'll never be able to succeed. Because of this, I'll never be able to go forward in life. Because of this, I'll never be able to get out of the situation I'm in. What do? They just owned the circumstances that have been keeping them down. They've accepted limitations on their life that are not from God. Until they see somebody come by and share their testimony, how they got set free, how are they ever going to know that they can be free too? The glory of God is to be manifested in the children of God. The whole earth is to be filled with God's glory. He wants his glory to be seen on his church. Even Jesus said, you know, let your light so shine before men. Don't hide it. We have a lot of undercover Christians running around. You know, it's okay to shout hallelujah in church and let everybody know you're a Christian in church, but when you get out in the world, you need to be reserved. You might offend somebody. I actually have had people tell me to not witness to somebody because they might get offended. You know how stupid that is? You know, I can't imagine a more offensive place than hell. If they're offended now, they're really going to be offended when they land in hell. But the things people, the ideas that people come up with sometimes are just out of this world. And they're not of this world, they're of Satan. Some of these crazy ideas they come up with. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So He's the Father of glory. He's the God of glory. It tells us that in Acts chapter 7, verse 2. And you're the son or daughter. And He created us in His image. Now, why on earth would anybody think that God would not want to share His glory with you? But that's one of the lies that has been given to the church, and a lot of the church has accepted it and said, no, God will not share His glory with anybody. That's not true. That's twisted scripture. Now, God will not share His praise. You can find instances in the Bible where people accepted praise that they were not supposed to accept, and they got in a lot of trouble. But you can't find anywhere in there where people got in trouble when the glory of God was seen on them, unless it was people that was persecuting them. In the presence of God, man was crowned with glory and honor. When Adam sinned, he became naked. There was actually, I believe Adam was actually surrounded by a glory bubble. He was crowned with glory and honor. And God put everything in His control. And there was one thing He told Adam not to do, and Adam did that one thing. And that very minute, that glory went away. And God told Satan, He said, there's coming one that is going to bruise your head. So from that day forward, every time Satan seen somebody that reminded him of this Adam guy that had the glory bubble on him, every time he seen somebody that had that anointing, he went after him. And he slaughtered people as fast as he could. If they reminded him anything of that original Adam, he went after him. Ran into Jesus. And he thought, this is going to solve my problem right here. I'm going to get rid of the one that's causing all of this grief. If Satan would have known what would have happened, what was going to happen when he put Jesus on that cross, he would have never done that. He didn't know about the seed principle. He didn't know that when God planted His seed, that it was going to multiply. So he seen Peter come out of the upper room looking just like Jesus. And then Peter preached a little sermon, and then pretty soon there were 3,000 of them that looked like Jesus. And they keep multiplying. And they keep multiplying more. And they keep multiplying more. Because somebody sees something in somebody. And they want to know what it is that makes this guy all right. I had a guy. He stayed well out of reach of me. But I seen him looking at me. And he always had a grouchy face, but he wouldn't get close to me. And this went on for quite a while. And finally, he came over to my barn, and I just got talking to him. And he said, "You're on heroin, I know you are." I said, "No, I'm not on heroin." And he said, "Nobody can be that happy all the time and not be on heroin." Well, he got born again, and then he got baptized. This is an interesting baptism because, see, this guy, his bed, he slept on blocks of cocaine. And he had snorted so much cocaine that it took his canals out. So when we baptized him, he had to hold his nose or his ears, and another person had to hold his nose so no water could get in there because it would just go flooding all the way through there. But he seen something different about me long before I said a word to him. God wants his glory to be seen on the church. Look at First Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 6 says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." There's God specifically through the Holy Spirit talking about that glory being associated with us. Now, we know that it comes only from our Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves more glorious. It only comes through Jesus. It's Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's always about Jesus. It's always about Him. But we don't need to revert to natural gimmicks for the glory of God to be seen of. And in fact, He doesn't want us to revert to natural gimmicks. He wants us to go to the Holy Spirit. He wants the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating through us. So that when we're out in the world, people see the supernatural. Not the natural, but the supernatural. People have a craving for the supernatural, whether they're born again or not. Every human being on this planet has a craving for the supernatural. Because at one point in time, their spirit was in contact with God. The supernatural, miracle-working God. And then, after a while, after they've been on this earth for a while, if they don't get born again, they're out there running loose, but they still have a craving and a curiosity for the supernatural. You ever notice how many people are attracted to magicians? How many people are attracted to, like, hypnotists? How many people are attracted to something like that? You know, and here's the thing. When people are not born again, they're led by their five natural senses, by what they see, taste, smell, touch, hear. So they look at the church and they see the church not doing anything. So then they look at the occult and they see something happen. You know, The devil can do lying signs and wonders. The Bible tells us to watch out for that. Don't be deceived by lying signs and wonders. But when people see something happen, that catches their attention. And then they're pulled into that. I was curious one time, I was wondering why people would get tied up with these Satanists called the Illuminati. They're just some horrible people. And I was wondering how in the world do they possibly get hooked up with that? How do they get so involved in it? Because you end up selling your soul. And I was reading about a guy. He joined the Illuminati and he got $30 million. You sold your soul for $30 million. Some of the testimonies that I've heard of people in prisons and stuff said, you know, they didn't have anything. They didn't have any prospects. They didn't have any friends. And they got hooked up with these people and they said the drugs, the sex, the money, the parties were just amazing. What happened? They didn't see the church do anything, and the devil slipped in there and showed them something. See, this is why it's so important for parents. They need to understand that they got to be hands-on. You know, being a mom and dad is a participation event. And you can't just turn this kid loose and say, well, somebody will teach him something. We'll take him to school. Somebody will teach him something. So they're going to teach him something. And it's not going to be what you want him to learn. Another favorite pastime with a lot of parents is, well, we'll drop them off at church and we'll come back and get them. No! No, you go into church with them. Participate. You need to be involved in them kids. I never raised any kids, and I kind of avoided them for the most part. I mean, they were just weird. And we got down here, and all of a sudden we ended up with little Anastasia. And she was with me all the time. And I had always heard that they're going to do what you do and not what you say. I had heard that before. You know, I didn't know what that... Nothing about that. And one day, little Anastasia's teacher come out to us and said, Anastasia's little friend crashed on the playground. And while they were waiting for the ambulance, Anastasia went over there and said the sweetest little prayer we ever heard. And she was crying. And that's when I thought, wow, they do what you do and not what you say. All she did was she just copied us. She'd seen us do it so many times. That was her answer. That was the glory of God shining on her. Her little teacher seen that. First Corinthians chapter 2. Talked about the wisdom of God. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. The wisdom of God is what we're supposed to rely on, not the wisdom of the world. The plan to return man to glory in his presence. That was the idea. See, man was clothed in glory until Adam sinned. And they didn't get in contact with that kind of glory again until Jesus died on the cross. And then when you get born again, you get hooked up with that glory again. Satan did not know this, or he would not have killed Jesus. God wants this mystery known now. He wants everybody in this world to know about his glory. And the only way they're going to know about his glory is for the church to go ahead and operate in his glory. Not run from it, but operate in it. Rely on it. It's all about him anyway. And it's the praise we're not supposed to participate in, but the glory. God needs his glory to be seen on the church so this world can be changed into his glory. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you do for us every day. Father, we thank you for the wisdom of God that has been made manifest to us. And we thank you that as we stay in Jesus and keep praying in tongues, that this wisdom will come from the depths like a river. It'll come up. And we'll have it. We'll know what we need to know when we know it, when we need to know it. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Did you go vote?